Hello and welcome to a new series of podcasts from Tanfield Chambers. My name is Michael Walsh and I'm joined today by Daniel Dovar, Piers Harrison and Jonathan Upton. We've rather hastily convened this podcast to talk about practice direction 51Z. So I'm going to ask Jonathan Upton to tell us, Jonathan, what is practice direction 51Z?
Well, anyone who is listening to this probably knows already it contains three paragraphs. The first one provides that it was made under Rule 51.2, which is the power to modify or disapply any rule for specified periods during pilot schemes. Paragraph 2 stays all possession proceedings brought under Part 55 for a period of 90 days from the date of the PD. And paragraph 3 provides, for the avoidance of doubt, claims for injunctive relief are not affected by it.
Thanks for that, Jonathan. So, Daniel, tell us, what is the problem that's been created by Practice Direction 51Z?
Well, the problems are that it's drafted very widely. It includes not just residential, but all commercial properties. And there are queries as to whether or not it applies to proceedings that are currently afoot, where there isn't a hearing of possession, but maybe there are certain steps that need to be taken or directions that have been given, whether or not it prevents claims. It's also not clear as to why it's caught claims where there may be no defence to any possession being put forward, and indeed where there's no link to any of the underlying purpose, which is social distancing and prevention of spreading of the coronavirus. And in fact, Michael, I think you've had a problem with one of the issues raised about whether it stays current proceedings.
Yes, I've got a complex mortgage case which had case management directions that were given by Judge Parfitt a few weeks ago before the practice direction. And We were proceeding as normal with the case management directions, but the other side insisted that the effect of PD 51Z was to stay the claim and that there was no need to comply with those directions. We asked Judge Parfitt for a decision on the papers as to whether the stay could be lifted, and he decided that there was no power under Part 3 to disapply the practice direction and lift the stay on a case-by-case basis. We applied for permission to appeal. Mr. Justice Kerr gave us permission last week and transferred the case to the Court of Appeal under Part 52.23. So that's due to be heard next week by the Court of Appeal. Daniel, there was a letter, wasn't there, that was sent by the PBA and the PLA, or rather Piers. Now, I think you're going to tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. So the PBA and PLA drafted a joint letter to the Master of the Rolls querying the practice direction. Broadly made three points. One is that it was originally announced as applying only to housing possession claims, and has been pointed out, it has much wider effect. And then it points to how much wider the effect is than the effect of statutory intervention under the Coronavirus Act 2020. So as our listeners will know, that affords some protection to residential tenants by extending notice periods. There's also a moratorium on forfeiture for non-payment of rent, but not other breaches. And unsurprisingly, there's no protection in the Coronavirus Act for squatters. And so the letter points out that this goes much further than the statutory protection. And lastly, it points out that the practice direction appears to be at odds with the business as usual approach, which was announced by the courts only a couple of weeks ago.
So that letter was sent by the Property Bar Association and the Property Litigation Association jointly to the Master of the Rolls. And the Master of the Rolls replied, I think, today, didn't he, Jonathan?
Yeah, he did. I mean, the PBA and the PLA's letter asked for urgent clarification and an amendment to the PD. And the Master of the Rolls has replied accordingly. So he has introduced an amendment in paragraph 2A of the practice direction, which clarifies that it does not apply to claims against trespassers to which Rule 55.6 applies, and that is claims against trespassers who are persons unknown, but not other trespassers. It also does not apply to applications for interim possession orders or an application for case management directions which are agreed by all the parties. And he also clarified in paragraph 3 of the practice direction that the fact that a claim to which paragraph 2 applies will be stayed does not preclude the issue of such a claim.
Okay, so we'll come back to the effect of that in a minute, perhaps discuss what it all means. But just so that we complete the circle, Daniel, do you want to just tell us a bit about the letter that the Master of the Rolls sent?
Yes, today he replied to the PBA and the PLA's letter. He put a strong justification for the practice direction that had been made, principally on the basis that although it had the intention is to have business as usual in the High Court, in the County Court, the sheer volume of cases that come through there means that that isn't possible. And indeed, it does appear that it's the administrative burden of these cases and other cases that means that these restrictions are felt to be justified. There is some reassurance there, though, because it's said that they are continually reappraising the impact of the practice direction, but for present purposes, the amendments that Jonathan has just highlighted are the only ones that have been made. And so they give some lifting, albeit a small amount of lifting, but there are still unanswered questions, such as the impact, Michael, in your case, whether or not it applies to all cases that are currently running. And indeed, the other queries then that I think we're going to discuss now, in terms of what does the claim against trespasser means, and also what does it mean in application for case management directions which are agreed by all the parties, although given the tone of the letter, it's clear that I think the if the emphasis is on the administrative burden, then it's not intended to be a large-scale lifting of the stay. So, Piers, have you got any thoughts then on what the impact of this practice direction is and the amendment?
Yeah, it could be clearer, couldn't it? I mean, taking the last point first, the application for case management directions, which are agreed by all the parties, one presumes that the thinking is that if all the parties agree directions, then they're happy for the stay not to apply to the proceedings insofar as they have agreed directions. So the parties can, notwithstanding the practice direction, prepare for trial, so be witness statements, disclosure, etc. And so for all intents and purposes, if the parties agree, the case isn't stayed at all.
Yeah, it's not often that a defendant of possession proceedings is happy to proceed to trial as quickly as possible. So one suspects that 2AC is not going to have much of an impact.
Well, Piers, you had some interesting thoughts, didn't you, on the applicability to trespassers who were persons unknown. Do you think it'll apply to defendants if you have to actually name them? So, you know, it's Joe Bloggs and you know that they're in possession because they're always trespassing in properties in that area.
Yeah, it wouldn't apply to that. So if you knew the trespasser, the case would be stayed. So one can imagine that trespassers will be extremely anxious to let people know their name. Yeah. Past practice, they'll be shouting out of the window, and if you take a proceedings against me, my name is Joe Bloggs.
Yeah, advice to all squatters, please put a sign on the front door saying my name is John Smith.
Well, I think both of those queries about trespassers and what case management direction means get some light shed on them by the content of the letter when it stresses the administrative burden on the courts. So these, both of those cases in a very narrow application, are ones that the courts can deal with quite swiftly and probably require less in terms of any dispute resolution. I mean, if you know your squatter's name, I mean, absent if they put their name on the letter on the door, if you know your squatter's name, there's probably more of a history to the trespass.
Well, there is and there isn't. I mean, sometimes, certainly in my own experience, when you're dealing with professional trespassers, they will be known to you because they're parts of large groups of professional trespassers like Occupy London in the history of the cases that deal with large scale trespasses, and indeed in environmental protests, they will also be known often to the landowners. So it's interesting.
But even if the trespasser is cheeky enough to put their name on the door, one helpful bit of clarification or carve out from it now is the IPO procedure, which can still be used then in those situations.
Well, absolutely. So do we think this practice direction...
environmental trespassers would be breaking the law, of course, if they left their house for a non-essential activity.
They'd just get a fine, I think, in those circumstances, wouldn't they?
So do we think this practice...
And the letter clarifies, doesn't it, that as does the practice direction, that claims for injunctive relief aren't subject to the stay. So if there's any criminality involved, then it's likely you'd be able to get injunctive relief.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really helpful discussion and summary of the effect of the amendment of Practice Direction 51Z. So I'd like to thank Piers Harrison, Daniel Dovar and Jonathan Upton for joining me on what we hope will be a series of podcasts from Tanfield Chambers. So thanks for joining us.